Welcome to the Downhouse podcast, where you can learn more about Downhouse School. In this episode, we're focusing on well-being and its importance in our community. In this episode, our host, Simon Jones, is joined by Mrs. Ellen Llewellyn, Director of Pupil Wellbeing, and two wellbeing pupil ambassadors in the Lower Sixth, Alice and Emmy.
So in this episode here today, we're talking to Alice in Lower Sixth, Emmy also in Lower Sixth, and Ellie Llewellyn. She's Director of Pupil Wellbeing. Hello, Ellie. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you.
It's great to talk to you. Now, you're not just Director of Pupil Wellbeing, though, are you? You're a couple of other things, too. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I'm also the head of Learning for Life, which is known as PSHE in other schools. So that's looking at kind of the personal and social development of our students. So that's a weekly taught lesson for every single student in the school. And I'm also on the safeguarding team here as well.
Okay, all right. Well, certainly seems like we're in good hands today. But our main thing that we're talking about today is well-being. We're going to be finding out a few things from you, but also from both of our Lower Sixth pupils. But before we do that, Ellie, tell me about well-being, because it's one of those things which in more recent times has become more and more prominent in the news. It's gained more importance for all of the right reasons as well, it seems. Tell me about well-being in schools and how you've seen that change over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a massive shift in schools, I think, and particularly here at Down. My role didn't exist a couple of years ago, and it's something that I took on the challenge of, and I'm so glad I did, because I think it's moved the conversation around well-being absolutely in the right direction. And that conversation is very much happening with the students. So it was very much driven by them to have someone that was really looking at that as their job, to look at how well-being is integrated in so many different ways, particularly in a boarding school like this.
Okay, so give me some examples then as to how, you know, well-being and looking after the children in school is actually implemented.
So in lots of different ways, and it's not necessarily overtly called well-being. It just happens in lots of ways. But there are also some very deliberate things that we've put in place that very much everyone is very much aware of our well-being strategies. So things like the Well-being Committee, which is a student-run committee, and both Alice and Emmy are ambassadors for that on that committee. So they can tell you a little bit more about it. But that very much came out of student voice. The students said to us, we want to have a committee that talks about well-being and mental health. They hear about so much of that going on through social media and you know, in the media in general, and it's just a great way to have a platform for students from all throughout the school to talk about how they're feeling, about how their well-being is, but how they can be proactive about looking after that as well, that it's not just reactive in as much as something has gone wrong and so I now need to seek out help for that. It's thinking about, how can I build up my own toolkit, if you like, of strategies to help me when emotions, you know, go high, go low, whatever it might be? How can I manage myself throughout the school day and throughout, you know, their time at the school?
So I love the way that you refer to other things outside of things which are sort of intentionally labeled as well-being. It's almost, to me, it seems like well-being is very much central to everyday life in school. Whether or not, you know, it's not like you're Director of Pupil Wellbeing and you're the only person who's dealing with wellbeing. It's like it's you know, you're the director, but nevertheless, it's a part of everybody's job. It's a part of pupil life as well as staff life, as well as you in your role and what you do there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many different elements that kind of come under my role that I directly oversee, or that just happen because we're in a boarding school with a real strong pastoral ethos. So, you know, we do have things like well-being tracking. So we have a tool, an assessment that we do with our students. They all take that, and that gives us some pastoral data that sits with our house teams, and they can then use that data to support students, to have conversations with students, talk about well-being. And that's actually something really interesting that we're looking at the moment. And Alice is raising her eyebrows at me, knowing that I'm going to ask her about it in a minute. But we're looking at how we do that and whether there's new ways and different ways that we can do that, because we've been using a system for a while now that students are becoming very used to using. So it's about thinking about how we can keep that, the momentum going with that, and keep the students interested in it and seeing the value in it. So yes, there's lots of different systems that, I mean, the houses themselves, obviously their core focus is on pastoral care, and that very much is about well-being. You know, if students are feeling happy and healthy, they are much more likely to succeed and enjoy their time at boarding school. So ultimately, that is the thing that underpins boarding school life. So, you know, the house teams are very acutely attuned to well-being, you know, not just picking up on it, but again, encouraging and modelling good well-being and mental health practices and behaviours, you know, when they're having those conversations with students in houses.
Ellie, it's great that you referred to our two ambassadors just then. Before we jump across and speak to them, why do you feel like it's important to have pupils on board working with you on these kinds of initiatives?
Oh gosh, it's so important because, you know, ultimately students, yes, they'll listen to teachers, but they feel removed from teachers. You know, we're older, we don't necessarily understand exactly what they're going through. They love hearing from their peers, and particularly the younger girls love hearing from the sixth form. They are their role models. They've, you know, watched them over the years climbing up through the schools, and they love hearing from them and getting advice from them, hearing about their experiences of what things were like for them. So it's really crucial actually that some of the well-being things that we do come through student voice rather than it coming from teachers.
Well, let's jump across to them right now in that case. Emmy, great to hear all about this. Tell me a little bit about how you feel being involved in this and why you feel like it's an important thing.
It's very fulfilling being in the well-being committee because obviously Alice and I, we are in our first years of A-level, which is obviously a very stressful time, but being able to engage in and being reminded to practice well-being is really, really important because we're always so busy. We always have things to do, but it is a constant reminder, even if it is just posters around house or around the school and just the well-being committee meetings weekly. It's just a very, very good reminder, and it's a really fulfilling feeling being able to talk about what people our age go through and how it's best for the school to deal with it, to have that pupil input.
And one of the things Mrs. Llewellyn was just talking about was how as adults, sometimes we might not understand how children are feeling or how young adults might be feeling. I'm sure she's doing herself a disservice by saying that. I'm sure that she is actually far more in tune than she's indicating. But that said, is it, in your opinion, a great thing to have pupils at similar ages speaking to each other about these things, and also pupils of different ages who are all pupils within the school?
Yeah, I think it's really important to have these conversations within all of the year groups, regardless of what age you are, because it is relevant no matter how old you are. And not only me, and I know other people are so grateful that the school does try to listen to our feedback and listen to what we have to say and how we think it's best for them to help us. So particularly through talking to younger girls or talking to older girls, it's nice to see different perspectives and see what helps them and what benefits them, because at the end of the day, it's so fulfilling being able to help each other, and age doesn't matter because you can go through anything at any age and it's still significant and it should be validated in that way. So I think it's just having that contribution from everyone.
Yeah, very well said, Emmy. Absolutely right. And Alice was sat right next to you, nodding away while you're saying that. Alice, let's just jump across to you for a second. Clearly, you're in agreement with what Emmy was saying just then. Tell me a little bit about how well-being looks in the different houses.
So Emmy and I are in our sixth year at Down. So I think we have definitely seen like the development of the well-being kind of program and placement of well-being within the school. I think having seen it kind of develop throughout our time here has been, like Emmy said, really fulfilling, but also just like, it's just so nice to see. But I think the student input has been such an important and vital role in that. All the houses, I think, definitely have different methods of dealing with well-being, but each house is provided with a well-being box and well-being hamper. With lots of things like bombs and colouring books and weighted blankets.
Sorry, bombs. Just to clarify on what you mean by bombs?
Sleep bombs. Sorry, that was not clear. Sleep bombs and sprays, along with weighted blankets and bubble bath and lots of nice things that you can treat yourself with. So it's really encouraged. And also, so I'm in AGS, and in AGS we had Feet Up Friday, where it was very, very encouraged to do a face mask, which was very nice. So I think within the different houses, and regardless of how old you are, there's always activities in the evenings that facilitate looking after yourself and taking time out of your work or studies to spend time with friends, relax, and just focus on your well-being.
Okay, right. Thank you for that, Alice. And you're in AGS. Just tell us which A levels you're doing, would you?
So I'm doing English, French and Art.
Okay, right. And you're enjoying those? Which one would you say is your favourite out of those?
Art. I love art. I spend my whole life doing art.
Oh, awesome. That's great. That really is great. Let's just jump back to Emmy for a second. Alice is in AGS. Which house are you in then?
I'm in AGS too.
Excellent.
Yeah, we went through upper school together, which was really nice. And we could definitely see, even now going back to AGS, you can physically see the differences. Like, they have so much more available to you to take care of your well-being. And in our house, currently in sixth form, we have a whole cabinet dedicated to sleep with sleep sprays and pillow sprays and basically anything you could think of that would help you with sleep. And it's just, it's really great. Like, even books and everything just to educate you on, you know, the importance of sleep and stuff like that. It's really, really great. So yeah, I was in AGS with Alice.
Yeah, excellent. That's great to hear, Emmy. Let's just jump back to Mrs. Llewellyn for a second. Ellie, it's great hearing from the girls here. And without wanting this to sound even slightly condescending, this is not a token effort about including pupils in something just to make them feel a bit grown up or anything like that. This is really powerful stuff that's coming from the girls here, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think sometimes when you say the word well-being, people can think it's just the fluffy stuff, it's the bubble baths or whatever. But actually, it's so much more than that. You know, looking after yourself, both physically and mentally. Yes, of course, relaxation activities and things are important and are an element of it, but so is sleep, so is nutrition, you know, so is physical movement. And that doesn't have to be intense sport, you know, that, and it's so part of the well-being program and the ethos, I suppose, that we're trying to garner around well-being and mental health is, as I say, that kind of building your own toolkit of what works for you to keep you holistically healthy in all of those different ways, because, you know, if any element of that isn't okay, it has an impact on the whole. So yes, of course, we do have all the lovely things that are all kind of pampery type stuff, but, you know, we're also really keen on providing opportunities for girls to have a voice in nutrition and food and things like that. So we have like the food forums to get student feedback on what they feel is what they would like to eat, you know, what makes them happy, what makes them healthy and fueled effectively. And the same with sport, you know, it's not all about team sports. Movement comes in so many different forms, and our CCA team here are incredible at offering a huge range of activities that students can get involved in that help them move their body and focus on their physical health, but doesn't have to be intense cardio or running club or lacrosse or whatever it might be. You know, it can be yoga, it can be Pilates, it can be other things that are just forms of movement. And we're very lucky as well that we're in this gorgeous setting here in Coldash, where we've got these glorious woods and things near us. It's lovely and rural. I mean, I was teaching a lesson with the window open today and the birds were chirruping away next to me. You know, we've got this gorgeous space that actually lends itself so well to good well-being and mental health. And it's about utilizing that. And, you know, we talk about that in our Learning for Life lessons as well, that, you know, it doesn't just have to be go and take an hour's bubble bath. It can be just stop and appreciate the birds singing while you're walking to your lessons, or, you know, have a good boogie in your dorm and you know, dance to some music that you love. Finding that joy, those lovely moments in every day is what well-being actually is all about.
Boogie in the dorm. Completely love that, Ellie. I really
Absolutely.
Do. Talk to me a little bit about when children join the school, whether they're joining in year seven or remove, or whether they're joining in the sixth form or any point in school. What is the provision for well-being, or, you know, just keeping an extra eye out for anybody who might need it, where maybe you don't know that person so well because they've only just joined the school, just keeping an extra eye out for that person, looking after each other. How does that work?
Yeah, so we have really specialist teams in each of the three sections of the school in the boarding houses. So, you know, they are very attuned to what the likely stressful points or difficulties might be for new students. So there's that element. You know, our house staff are just brilliant at supporting students. And obviously when they've got new students, they know that they're keeping a particular eye out for them, and they can talk to them. And a lot of that is about having those constructive conversations that build those relationships so that the students have that trusted adult that they can go to when they're struggling. But then there's lots of other elements to that. So, you know, particularly in the three different sections in those transition year groups where we have perhaps a higher number of new students coming into the school. So particularly at 11 plus, 13 plus and 16 plus, there are also lots of induction programs and activities and things all based around making sure that those students are able to have the time to form those new relationships, to be able to bond with the other students in the houses, and that as part of that, the stress is taken out of everything being new because they are given the time and the space to go through all of those new adjustments that they will need to make. And that often is done through peer teaching in many ways. So we buddy up, any new student is buddied up with an academic buddy, a pastoral buddy, someone who is going to be able to be their go-to person for questions about any element of the school that they might not be sure about or need to ask questions about. So new students are just very well supported in lots of different ways by both fellow students and by the adults in the school. We also, of course, have our one-to-one tutoring system as well, and our students get to know their tutors very quickly because they have weekly one-to-one tutorial sessions with them. Alice wants to add something. I'm just going to pass over.
So just to add as well, I think within the transition year groups, because there are so many new girls joining, it almost feels like it's a new year group as a whole. So I think it's a shift for the whole year group, not only the new girls as well. But I think because of the sheer volume of opportunities Down facilitates, and we have such a wide variety of things we're able to do, I think Down gives us so much space to have time for our well-being and have different outlets and ways in which we can find things to do that will help us and keep us calm or, you know, give us time for ourselves. So I know for me, my art is something that really, really benefits my well-being. But also I do a lot of music, which again helps. So I think there's like a lot of different ways which girls can find those outlets and seek friends through that as well.
Alice, thank you for that. Emmy, tell me your thoughts.
So as an international student, I come from Singapore, and that is a very, very long way away from Down. But it was so shocking and amazing to be able to come to the school, and I felt immediately welcomed. And I didn't feel out of place in any way, because I knew for a fact that the house staff and the teachers were looking out for me, and they were there, and I knew that they were there. And it was so great. And like Alice said, the school facilitates so much for you that I found so many different interests that really have contributed to my well-being, which I'm really grateful for, in addition to having learning for life lessons every week, which I didn't have in my old school. It's just, it was like an enlightenment, like being able to learn more about well-being as part of the school curriculum.
Like an enlightenment. I love that, Emmy. Thank you so much for that. Mrs. Llewellyn, great hearing what both the girls are talking about here. What if somebody needs something a little bit different, like the health centre? I know that there is one at school. Just tell us a little bit about how that looks, would you?
Yeah, of course. So with wellbeing, we try to think about wellbeing as a proactive, positive approach to wellbeing rather than immediately medicalising wellbeing. However, there are, of course, cases where things just aren't on your side and you need some additional support from someone who is slightly more of a professional and is trained to support you. So we have the incredible on-site health centre here, which is fab. That's staffed 24 hours a day, and the nurses are fantastic and obviously can very much support the girls if they want to come and have a chat, and they can facilitate GP appointments and referrals and things like that. We also are incredibly lucky here to have an incredible in-house counselling provision as well that lots of our students choose to use. And they can provide a service that is just really supportive. So some students choose to go just as a kind of maintenance thing, just a space to chat to someone in an informal way that, you know, isn't from the house, doesn't necessarily know you and see you all the time, and can give you that kind of just impartial space to talk about how you're feeling and to discuss, you know, your mental health and your well-being in general. So we're really lucky that we've got that provision here. They're very busy, our counsellors, which is fantastic. That means that the girls feel really open and like spending time with them. So that's brilliant. And yeah, that's something that I think is quite unique at this school, that we offer that much support.
It strikes me hugely how different boarding schools are these days compared to well, I mean, I was going to say like the 50s and 60s, but even like, you know, the 80s and 90s, when some of the people who are listening to this, maybe when they went to school themselves, it's very, very different now, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, I didn't go to boarding school myself. I wish I had. Now I've been worked at Down for 10 years and I can see how amazing it is. But I hear that a lot from prospective parents, actually. And we, in the loveliest way, often get ex-Down House pupils. So some of our alumni who are now parents are now mummies who come along, and they will tell us just how different they can see that the school is and how much more the focus is on well-being and mental health and why that's just so important, because, you know, they see in their daughters the pressures and things that they get from social media, from, you know, society and the expectations that there are on girls and women now. And it's just so important that the school provides them, that the school recognizes that, but also provides them the space to discuss it, to talk about it, and to be able to tackle it, because, you know, those issues do exist in the real world. And when they step out of the doors of Down House, they're going to need to be able to deal with them. So teaching them how to equip themselves with the necessary skills to be able to look after themselves for life is really important.
What's also very important, though, is keeping an eye on time, because it's 6:30 in the evening now, which means it must be nearly food time for certainly for our girls and probably for you as well, Ellie. Ellie, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been great to discuss well-being. I love talking about it. My favourite subject.
And girls, but before I say thank you to you, do you know what's on the menu for food tonight?
Yes, I do. It is chicken katsu. Which is amazing, with some delicious rice.
Best meal we have, I think, genuinely. It's so good.
I wish I was having that myself. Girls, I'll release you to go and enjoy katsu, but in the meantime, thank you so much for being here. It's been great talking to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So that's it for this episode. To find out more, check out the school's website, downhouse.net. And our next episode is coming out soon. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to this one. Don't forget to follow or subscribe so you can stay in touch. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.